From Hollywood, Camel Cigarettes presents The Screen Guild Players. Our stars, Margaret O'Brien, Jimmy Durante, and Mary Jane Smith. Our play, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Our host, Camel Cigarettes. Tonight, Camel Cigarettes presents the Screen Guild Players in the most hilarious event of the radio season, Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, co-starring that lovable pair, Margaret O'Brien and Jimmy Durante, with Mary Jane Smith in the singing role of Snow White. And now, since time's a-wasting, let's be off to the home of Margaret O'Brien, where an excited little girl is seated by the radio.
Margaret, time to go to bed. Did you hear what I said, young lady?
Yes, Mommy. But can I stay up just a little later tonight, please?
Now, darling, a rule is a rule. It's almost 7:30, isn't it?
I guess it is. But that's Pacific Standard Time, and we're on daylight saving time. It's really only 6:30, you know. And this is something extra special.
All right. What now?
Why, it's the Camel Screen Guild Players. They're going to do Snow White, and I wouldn't want to miss that for anything.
Well,
Mother, it's the doorbell. Who could that be at this late hour?
Well, why not go and see? Maybe it's your prince charming.
Golly, I hope it isn't one of the little boys from down the street who wants to play with me. Then I won't be able to listen to Snow White.
Hopscotch, anyone?
Why, it's Jimmy Durante. Oh, Jimmy, I'm so glad to see you. Won't you come in?
Thank you, Margaret, and welcome home from merry old England. Might I say the scintillating charm of your ethereal presence imbues me with rapturous felicitations and salutes me with ecstasy?
Why, Jimmy, how can you say that?
I don't know. I just opened my mouth and hope for the best. But it's nice having you back, Margaret. And here's a little homecoming gift I bought you.
Oh, Jimmy, for me, it's just what I wanted. A scarf.
Don't spread this around, but I knitted it myself.
Oh, it's a beautiful scarf. But what's this lump at the end of it?
That's the big toe. It started out to be a pair of socks. Where I should have knitted one and purl two, I knitted three and dropped four.
Oh, Jimmy, I think you're the most wonderful man I know. Every day I tell my mother that I think you're prettier than Van Johnson.
You do?
Yes, sir. And she said I should see somebody about it. Jimmy, what's a psychiatrist?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Somebody pass the crackers. Durante's in the soup again. What's a psychiatrist?
I'm so glad you came. Then we can listen to Snow White together.
To who?
Jimmy, you must have heard of Snow White.
No, I can't say as I ever met Snow White, but I think I know a little brother Bob White. I got a million of them. But seriously, Margaret, this Snow White intrigues me. How does it go?
Well, once upon a time, long, long ago, there lived a beautiful princess named Snow White.
This is fascinating. I'll put a squirt of taboo behind my ear and listen.
Oh, she was beautiful, but she had a very wicked stepmother, the cruel queen, who made her work as a scullery maid, cleaning and scrubbing floors and washing dishes, and she didn't pay her a cent.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Well, for nothing, you could buy much more in those days.
But when her work was through, little Snow White would go out into the garden and sit by the wishing well. She'd gaze into the well and sing, "I'm wishing." And the echo would answer, "I'm wishing."
Sounds like Dewey at the Republican convention.
Just listen, Jimmy. If you try real hard, you can almost hear.
Funny, I don't hear anything.
Shh, listen.
Want a nasty girl, promise not to tell. We are standing by a wishing well. Make a wish into the well, as
Colossal. Margaret, that princess sings a mighty good duet.
Did you really hear it, Uncle Jimmy?
May Mrs. Calabash never speak to me again.
Well, if you try real hard, maybe you can even see the wicked queen. I've seen her.
You have?
You've just got to imagine.
Okay, I'm imagining.
Do you see that big stone tower and all those guards in armor?
Yeah, yeah. Where's the queen?
I don't know. Let's peek in that window.
It ain't polite, but I'll force myself. What do you see?
There she is, that wicked queen, standing by the magic mirror.
Oh, magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all?
Who's she talking to?
To the magic mirror. Listen, the mirror is going to answer.
Famed is thy beauty, Majesty. But one is still more fair than thee.
Well, ask for her. Reveal her name.
Lips red as a rose, hair black as ebony, skin white as snow.
No, white. I can never be the fairest while she lives. Lieutenant! Lieutenant of the guard!
Golly, she's going to have Snow White killed.
Margaret, you wait here for me.
Are you going to me? Are you going to stop the wicked queen?
No, I got a little tater tate with that mirror. Oh, magic mirror on the wall. Who is the handsomest man of all? I lose more darn mirrors that way.
Jimmy, I'm afraid you broke the spell. And just when we were getting into the story.
Well, you've got me in, you've got to get me out. What happens, Margaret? Does the queen liquidate Snow White?
No, she just tries to kill her.
Oh, I see.
She sends her guardsmen to take Snow White's life and bring back her heart as proof of the wicked deed. But the guardsman can't bring himself to really kill her. So instead he kills the boar.
Anyone I know?
No, Uncle Jimmy. This boar is spelled B-O-A-R. He's a wild pig.
I repeat, anyone I know? But tell me, Margaret, what happened to Snow White? I'm beginning to like that kid.
The guardsmen left poor little Snow White in the cold, dark forest to die. But she didn't die.
Oh, penicillin, huh?
No, she wandered around the forest. And then at last she found a little cottage. You should have seen it, Uncle Jimmy. Everything was very tiny. Chairs and the tables were so small, it looked as though a beautiful doll lived there.
Again, I repeat, anyone I know?
There were dirty dishes lying everywhere, and everything was full of dust. So little Snow White gets a broom and sweeps the floor. And then she washes the dishes, too, and puts everything in place. And that makes her so tired, she goes right upstairs and falls asleep. And then the dwarfs come home.
Dwarfs? Where do they come from?
From the forest. There's 7 of them. And they spend all day in the forest working in their gold mines. And they're so happy, they come out of the mine singing.
John and Lewis must have got them another raise. You know something? I think I can almost hear them.
Men, the lift's light. I mean, the light's lit.
Seems to me the floor's been swept.
Hey, the goblins have been here.
Look, towers on the fable. I mean, flowers on the table.
Oh, what beautiful flowers. Goldenrod.
Why, look, the whole place is clean.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's dirty work afoot.
Listen, men. Whatever done this ain't down here, so it must be upstairs.
Ooh, upstairs?
Upstairs. And I say whatever it is, we gotta go up there and get it.
And that's the way they go upstairs. They creep up the steps with clubs in their hands, and they open the door very quietly, and then... Uncle Jimmy, would you like to know what happens next?
Well, sure. I guess so, Margaret.
Don't seem very interested.
Interested? I'm fascinated. But don't you have to save up something for the second act?
Camel Cigarettes now presents Act Two of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, starring Jimmy Durante, Margaret O'Brien, and Mary Jane Smith.
Well, Uncle Jimmy, would you like to hear the rest of the story of Snow White?
I wonder what would happen if I said no. What a confusion. Go ahead, Margaret. Dish it out.
Well, when the 7 little dwarfs crept upstairs and opened the door, there was Snow White, fast asleep in one of the little beds. So they woke her up, and she sat there staring at them. And then she smiled and said,
"Oh, my, you're awful small. Why didn't you boys grow any taller?"
"I guess we ran out of vigor room."
"Oh, I know you. You must be Doc."
"Howdy."
"And you must be Happy."
"Howdy."
"And you must be Grumpy."
"Howdy, and don't think I mean it."
"And you're sleepy, aren't you?"
"How did you know?"
"Oh, I just guessed. But I don't know who you are. What's your name?"
"My name is Sneezy. Silly, isn't it?"
"Well, it is odd. Why do they call you Sneezy?"
"Oh, I guess it's on account of because they..." "I'll give you 3 guesses."
"Is it because you sneeze once in a while?"
"Yeah, that's right. It's because I..." "Once in a while," she says.
"Oh, you poor dear. What makes you sneeze like that?"
"Well, I'm sort of sickly. I got a fever."
"What kind of a fever?"
"I got a... I can't say it, because it makes me sneeze just to hear that word."
"Is it spring fever?"
"Uh-uh."
"Scarlet fever?"
Now, please, let's just skip it.
Is it hay fever?
You sheriff!
That's the word I didn't want you to say.
Well, let's change the subject, Susie. My, this is a pretty house we have here.
Oh, yes, and it's all ours. No mortgages. We paid over 1,000 gold pieces for this place.
That certainly is a lot of money.
Yeah, it ain't hay.
Poor Sneezy. Isn't there any way we can help you?
Oh, it's too late. I got a headache.
Well, why don't you lie down and rest for a while?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll go right over to my bed and hit the... Oh, no. Oh, I just caught myself and died. I bet you thought I was going to say hit the hay.
Well, men, it's dinner time. Dinner, Tim. Dinner time. Let's go downstairs and fill our stomachs. Fill our stomachs.
Well, wait a minute. Snow White's going to sing for us.
Yeah, just the same. I'd rather eat.
Someday my prince will come. Someday we'll meet again on the way we have ever. We'll be happy forever.
Margaret, that was a mighty nice story. I might even say inspiring. You got to tell me another sometime.
But Uncle Jimmy, the story isn't over yet. Did you forget about the wicked queen?
Forget her? Indeed not. I simply choose to ignore her.
Well, the wicked queen did a whole lot more. When she found out that Snow White was still alive, she decided to put her into a deep sleep.
How did she accomplish that?
She just prepared a poisoned apple.
A poisoned apple? That queen was wicked to the core. Durandy, you polished that one off.
And you know what, Uncle Jimmy? It was a very special poison. It will put Snow White into a death-like trance. And she'd only be awakened by a love's first kiss.
Love's first smackaroo?
Yes. And then the wicked queen disguised herself as an ugly old witch. And she took the poison apple in her hand. And she went to the home of the seven dwarfs. And then when she got Snow White alone...
Would you like an apple, my dear? A nice rosy apple? A very special kind of apple.
A special kind of apple?
Yes, yes. Yes, a magic apple. One bite and all your dreams will come true.
Let me see. Yes. What shall I wish for? I know. I wish my prince would come and find me and carry me away to his castle.
Yes, fine, fine. Now take a bite, my dear. That's it.
Oh, I feel strange. Oh!
Success. Snow White, they will think you're dead. They'll bury you, and I will be the fairest in the land.
What a dirty trick. That old witch is repulsive, reprehensional, retractative, and superficial. Imagine leaving that lovely little girl as good as dead.
Yes, Uncle Jimmy. And the dwarfs thought that she was dead, too. But she was so beautiful, and they loved her so much, they just couldn't bring themselves to bury her. They built a lovely glass coffin for her, and they put her in a deep heart of the forest.
Spare me, Margaret, spare me. The saddest story I ever heard. The tears are running down my nose.
But wait, Uncle Jimmy. There's a happy ending.
Thank goodness for that. A man can only take so much.
You see, one day a handsome prince was riding through the forest.
Hold it, Margaret, hold it. I can see it all. Why, it's just as though I was there myself. I'm on my horse. I'm riding through the forest. I see the coffin. I bolt from the charger. Being a graceful dancer, I hit the ground. And suddenly I'm up to my ears in dwarfs. Nothing daunted, I kneels by Snow White, tilts my head back, swings my schnoz aside, and plants a kiss on her dainty lips. She opens her eyes. She goes limp. I takes her in my arms, and we ride away and live happily ever after. What a racket that Prince Charming had. What a racket.
Someday my prince will come. Someday we'll meet again. On the way to heaven above. We'll be happy forever. Someday when spring is here.
Exactly how the story ends. How did you know?
Intuition. That Prince Charming stuff comes natural to me. Typecasting, you might say.
Yes, I agree with you. You're the nicest prince there ever was.
Well, I wish this program was transcribed. I'd like to see that remark go on record. Now, isn't it time you were getting to sleep? Or, to put it more literally, how about you getting some shut-eye?
Yes, Uncle Jimmy, but can I ask you something first?
Sure. What is it?
When you go to bed, do you sleep with your nose over or under the covers?
Margaret, my nose is the covers.
Margaret? Mama, I know what you're going to say. They're going to say it's getting late and I have to go to bed.
Why, Margaret, that's amazing. How did you know?
Intuition.
That wraps it up, Margaret. Pleasant dreams.
Margaret O'Brien and Jimmy Durante will return to the Camel's Cream Gill microphone in just a moment. And now, a final and heartfelt round of thanks to our stars for a most delightful half hour. Jimmy, Margaret, and Mary Jane, it must make you feel very happy to know how much your performances have contributed to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house and hospital.
It does, Mr. Roy. It makes us feel very happy.
Well, Margaret, darling, it's something else to keep us in the same mood. Each week, the makers of Camel cigarettes send 3 Camels to the Men and Servicemen's Hospital. This week, among the other hospitals, free camels are being sent to United States Naval Hospital, Santa Margarita Ranch, Oceanside, California, United States Marine Hospital, Vineyard Haven, Massachusetts, and Veterans Hospital, Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Happy smoking, fellas. Your free camels are on their way to you now.
Mr. Roy?
Yes, Margaret?
Who's going to be on next week's show? I always listen.
Well, we've got a wonderful play next week, Margaret. It's one of the most beautiful stories ever written. Love Affair. And the stars, glamorous, lovely Greer Garson and...
Greer Garson, wait a minute. Is there a good man's part in it for me?
Well, yes, there is, Jimmy. Walter Pigeon is playing it.
Walter Pigeon? I'm a dead duck. Good night, folks.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was directed by Bill Lawrence, adapted for radio by Harry Cronman and Jess Oppenheimer, with special material by Harry Crane, with music conducted by Wilbur Hatch, and was presented through the courtesy of Walt Disney, producer of Melody Time. Margaret O'Brien can currently be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, Big City. Jimmy Durante appeared through the courtesy of Rexall and will soon be seen in MGM's On an Island with You. Don't forget, next week, Camel Cigarettes presents the Screen Guild players in Love Affair, starring Walter Pigeon and Greer Garson. Be sure to listen. And listen to Vaughn Monroe with Colonel Stoopnagel and their guest, Vera Holly, on the air for Camel Cigarettes every Saturday night over most of the CBS stations. This is Michael Roy in Hollywood saying good night and won't you have a camel? This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.